Welcome to Savvy Stewardship. I'm Tim Kaiser. And on today's episode, I have a special guest, Trey Shinneman, the founder of Herald. And Trey is a master in the techniques of marketing for small businesses, side hustlers, and big businesses. So today we're going to discuss marketing techniques and kingdom principles in that concept. So Trey, thank you for joining me today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, Tim, it's a pleasure to be with you today. I love the concept of stewardship in all areas of life, from financial stewardship to time stewardship to gifts and talent stewardship. So I'm excited to talk about all the different lessons I've learned over the last 20 years of professional work now of how to steward what God gave me. And hopefully I can encourage somebody today in that. Yeah, a little bit about me, family man. Live in just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, in a town called Franklin. It's oftentimes thought of like Hallmark's favorite small town in America. It's very picturesque here. We love it. I've sort of had three different careers is the best way I would say it. I spent about 5 years in full-time ministry and in Christian education out of seminary. Then I spent about 7 years leading agencies in the marketing world. And then I've spent the last 5 or 6 years on the client side, leading marketing teams embedded inside of large public figure led organizations is the best way to say it. And so I started Herald to kind of step away from corporate America and to sort of bring what I believe is a heavenly calling to the table, to bring Hollywood grade, what I would call Hollywood grade marketing delivery with holy word made backbone and principle and guidance and commitment to doing things ethically, and hopefully being able to encourage business owners what it's like and what they should be looking for in a good agency partner or in hiring and staffing for solid marketing work internally, because I've kind of lived both of those lives. So do a lot of growth advisory work now for businesses. I jokingly was talking to a team member the other day. It's like, we sort of kind of run the same process, but right now we're interestingly running in 11 different industries, which I'm working on some stuff right now as a consultant. If you'd asked me 4 or 5 years ago, if I'd consult in that space, I would have been like, you've got to be kidding me, but it's working. So, you know, we're going to keep going. So just excited to sort of talk about my life and some lessons I've learned over the years and how that's applying to me trying to be a good steward now as an entrepreneur and a business owner and an employer. You know, it's pretty different when you're signing, you got to sign the front of the check instead of the back of the check. And so that's a different mindset that we're working through right now. And I'm really grateful to be on.
Thank you, Trey. And so Herald is going for about a year now, and in all intents and purposes is a success. Some people might say overnight success, but you had a long, tough road. And someone out there who maybe is thinking about starting a business or needs services like yours, can you share some of the struggles you had early on in life and how you got to where you are?
Yeah, not all the roses are red, you know, all the time. And roses are interesting because they come with thorns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We the first full year. So I started Herald formally in the summer of 22, primarily because the entire time I was working full time inside of organizations, we had a real financial need for me to continue to work on the side as well, primarily as it relates to a couple of different major life events. So back in 2010, through several unforeseen circumstances that would take a long time to explain, my wife and I both ended up jobless, $95,000 in debt and on food stamps. And it was a real watershed moment. Kind of, we were 1 year into our marriage. She was pregnant with our oldest son when all this transpired, and we didn't really know what we were going to do. However, I had started tinkering with learning internet marketing the year before we lost our jobs in education, because we found out, we knew we were going to start trying to have a family, and we knew once she was pregnant and was going to have our first child that she had a desire to stay home for a couple of years. And so I was going to need to replace her income. So I had started taking internet classes on internet marketing, trying to watch YouTube videos and learn. I had bought a couple of books, reserve books at the library. So I was already starting this process and was tinkering with it. But then my hand was forced because we didn't really have anything else to go on because of the way that our job situation played out. And to make matters even more complicated is later on that same year, after we lost our jobs, our first son was born, and he ended up being born with a lot of just different medical things we not only had to deal with then. He was in the NICU for over a week when he was first born, but now he's, here we are almost 14 years later. He's almost 14 now. And we've had several years where we've had max out-of-pocket medical events, major medical stuff. He still lives right now with a lot of undiagnosed ailments that we kind of just manage at this point in his life. And so that's kind of been the underpinning tenor of our existence for the last 14 years, is trying to dig ourselves out of a hole that we started in, while also not going back into a hole as we keep going because of all of the other financial burdens that we've had over the last 14 years. So side hustling for me has been a thing since 2015, 2016, of like really focused on us. Because then if you think about it, with our son's name is Bear. So with Bear's situation, he's also one of his conditions that is diagnosed is he is autistic. So he's on the spectrum. And so my wife's not been back to work full time since that happened. So in a way, not only did I've had to always replace her income. You know, we needed her to be with Bear is the best way to say it. And so I had to really double down and push hard. And thankfully I found early on, a scripture verse in Habakkuk 2:2, that says, write the vision, make it plain so the herald can come in and run with it, because the vision awaits its appointed time. And my very first agency, my very first day, my wife gave me that scripture verse framed and said, I want you to hang this on the wall, because even though you're what we believe you're going to walk in your calling right now, I'm not sure what you're doing today is you realizing the actual calling yet. I think this is you just taking the next step. So fast forward 12 years later, after really great runs, really fortunate runs for some pretty awesome public figure brands. I had the pleasure of working for John Maxwell and Dave Ramsey, Ryan Levesque, and Brendan Burchard. So arguably four of the strongest public figure funnels kind of out there in the internet world. And I was sort of the digital guy behind the scenes in all of those situations. Garnered a lot of trust and like enigmatic questions from the market, like who's this guy, you know, that's over here kind of quietly behind the scenes. And so it felt like Herald was that appointed time moment for me to kind of step out and say, okay, I can be who I've been behind the scenes, but I can step into the light, not because I want to shine a light on me, but because I want to shine a light on the Lord, who has really been engineering all of this behind the scenes. And thankfully, as you know, being an entrepreneur and the successes we've had over the last 14 years, thankfully now we can look back on that really hard situation with a lot of grace and understanding, and I wouldn't change a thing. I know some people might change a thing. I really wouldn't change that. It was hard, Tim. It was hard. I mean, I bet you I averaged 70 hours of work a week for about 6 years. And it was really challenging. And so now I'm in this season of hopefully helping people understand some things that I know now, looking back on that season, of things that I would do differently, which is one of the reasons why we started Herald, to helpfully help businesses and individuals never really end up in the spot that I was in, by having good systems, good plans, and a good handle on always growing their businesses at good margins, so they don't end up like I was, you know, kind of mismanaging the resources that God gave me back then.
And I appreciate the Herald. I never caught that. I knew the scripture. I didn't quite catch the connection. So, but you were super successful as a side hustler. Now, you just mentioned you're working a lot of hours, and you know, a lot of people who listen to this channel, they are side hustlers.
Right.
But your numbers, and reading through your stuff, I'm not sure if I read it on your website or on LinkedIn, your numbers the last 3 years of your side hustle were astronomical compared to most side hustlers. Do you mind sharing those numbers?
Sure. Well, I think I don't mind trying to share the numbers at all. I think the biggest unlock that I could share with someone on this that would be listening to this is don't mishear what I'm about to say. I don't think there's anything wrong with side hustling as an Uber driver or Lyft or stocking shelves at Kroger or whatever, you know, other part-time jobs. I delivered pizzas and sold rainbow vacuums and stock shelf. Like, I umpired softball games. Like, I've done so many different things to make money on the side. However, what changed for me was when I made the move from 2017, when I was working in an agency world, to 2018, I was working embedded inside of an organization. When I was using my skills for an agency, it would have been weird for me to go meet a client and say, hey, pay me, don't pay the agency. Mm-hmm. Because the agency was selling my time at a marked up rate. And that's how the agency funds itself. Sure. That's how the agency that I run now funds itself, right? But once I went client side, I just asked for permission from my employer. I said, hey, look, you got, especially back that specific first employer, it was, hey, I have these skills. You're basically putting me on salary. You're going to get 40 to 50 hours a week for me as best I can. As long as I don't compete with you, would you be okay for me to have your permission to work nights and weekends using these same skills, but on other businesses that are non-competitive? Because it's going to help me and my family, but it's also going to make me sharper on what I'm doing here, because I'll have more than one set of data that I'm able to look at, and I'll be learning on a multiple front. Every four consecutive employers were like, makes total sense. Why would I ever stop you from being better at your craft? Especially if you, as long as you don't do it during company hours, on company equipment, so on and so forth. So that's the context that I would give before I tell you some numbers. And so I just doubled down in 2017. So from 2017 to 2019, I was working one client at a time on the side, kind of pay for hire by the hour, so on and so forth. 2019 till 2022, I changed my model. And I started, rather than just coming out of the gate selling my time for money in blocks, I started selling audits that I was getting increasingly more and more efficient at producing. So the time to deliver the audit was taking me less and less and less every time I did it. And I was able to not only charge the same price, but the audits were getting so good that I was starting to both increase my price and decrease my time, to where by the time 2022 rolled around, when you look at an hourly rate, where I used to sell my time at $100, $110, $120 an hour, the auditing process was allowing me to basically bill my time at $250 to $280 an hour, which is a big swing. So I ended up making $300,000 on the side once I started that adjustment in my approach, you know, without sharing too much, while also making really, really good salaries with benefits and everything at day jobs on the side. So that $300,000 for us was basically seed capital that I was that I was able to help use, finish doing some financial things that we needed to round up from this 10-year journey of trying to get out of the doldrums of being a one income family, and also give me the cushion that I was looking for to leave corporate America to step into the best way to understand what I do now is I still do that same service now. I just do it for more people at the same time. And now I've also built a system to teach other people that system that I use to side hustle, which we call the Compass Method. Which is a big part of what I was sharing with you earlier, kind of my mentorship call on my life right now, is because I had two mentors that really challenged my thinking over the last 10 years. So my academy offering inside of Herald is designed to be that. It's my mentorship play, where I'm teaching people essentially how to either do it full time or do it part time, on the side with the FC, what we call the process is called the Compass Method, and the product is called the financial, the FCMO, the Fractional Chief Marketing Officer Blueprint. So yeah, so $300,000 on the side, about $306,000 if you really look at it all up. That's over 3 years, so about $100,000 a year, which is a lot. You know, it was a big number for us in our family is what I was. I think it's a big number in general, but sure. I mean, we're nearly doubling. I'm working an extra 15 hours a week on top of the 50 to essentially double my income at the end of the year is basically what happened.
Yeah. I appreciate the distinction. The two distinctions I thought that were really good. One was the honor. That's the foundation to go to your employers, say, I want to do this, get their permission. And then the two is the effectiveness or efficiencies you actually worked into the process. So there are a lot of people who are side hustling, and your numbers, again, are astronomical compared to most people's from a marketing perspective. Because I think a lot of people, they treat their side hustles like part-time jobs. They don't treat it like it's their own business. And maybe they're self-imposed limitations or whatever. From a marketing perspective, what are some of the things you've noticed people do that are side hustlers that, you know, they're making $5,000-$10,000 a year, which is fantastic if their family needs it. Yeah. But they could scale it. What are some marketing things that you noticed?
Yeah, I would say for me, the single biggest platform that has made all the difference, which is the big reason how you and I even connected, is I got real serious about LinkedIn in really 2019. I would say real serious during the COVID year, because I just had a bunch of extra time on my hands. So I'm going to use LinkedIn as the example, but I think when you're side hustling, my sister's doing this right now. She's having a lot of really quick success. She started in November. She took a course in affiliate marketing, where basically she's making a commission now for selling other people's products. She just had a $4,000 month in the last 30 days in her fourth month of doing it. The crazy thing for me is like, I've had very little involvement in it. And I'm like, you know, she's my older sister, but I'm just more experienced than this there. But what she's done is she stood up a personal brand that's separate from her kind of everyday social media brand. And that's kind of what I would tell everyone to consider doing. Like, if you've got a service that you're selling on the side, take one of the social media outlets that's out there and make that the place where that's what you talk about. Don't try and take that's what you talk about and intermingle it in the other places that you already are. Like, have social media outlets that are your personal channels. That's where your friends are, your family are, you're doing pictures and events and, you know, that kind of stuff. But find another place where you can build a channel that's dedicated to the service you offer. If you're cutting grass or washing cars or doing, you know, food delivery or a wedding, I got a young lady that I mentor for a couple of years, she was running a wedding planning business on the side as her side hustle. It's like, you need to go stand up an outlet or two that's where you showcase what it is that you do on the side from a marketing standpoint, and make it explicitly clear for people who you are, how you help, and what it takes to work with you, which is essentially everything I've built my entire LinkedIn funnel to be. I always knew in the future I was going to build a training program around showing people what I was doing behind the scenes. And so we just launched that about 6 weeks ago in February, and it's gone very well, but it wasn't because I just started on it in February. Hmm. I launched it in February, but I've been building the groundwork for it for the last 2.5 years. I've just got just over 10,000 followers now. Tim, I bet you 6,000 of them are exactly in the avatar that I'm trying to reach. People Wow. that are interested in making more money at their current job on the side. They're faith friendly, that they want to have faith conversations in the public eye. They're into content marketing. They're probably trying to somewhat build a personal brand via a podcast, a newsletter, or they're writing on LinkedIn, and they're interested in increasing their income. Like, if you were to go through my connections, you're going to see a lot of those people in there. That's not happenstance. Like, there's intentionality. I've been doing 30, 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 3.5 years now to build that to where it is. So that's the second thing I would say is that you can't just start the channel. You got to have a plan for that channel that fits your life. So somebody might have just heard me say 30, 45 minutes a day and was like, oh my gosh, I don't have that. Okay. That's okay if you don't have that, but what do you have? Mm-hmm. What can you bring? So if you're a person that God gave 1 to 10 to or 100 to, he's still looking for you to go to 2, 10 or 200, you know? Right. And so it's like, you got to start where you are. You got to build a system that works with the amount of time you have. I just happened to be in a place where I was being championed to build that personal brand. So in a way I was kind of getting somewhat double dipping, you know, because my personal brand, having worked for public figure brands, they're all for you becoming a public figure, because all it's going to do is help lift their ship too. So that's a little bit of a cheat code that I had in my life that a lot of people might not have, but build a dedicated channel that will work to showcase who you are and what you do, and then have a committed plan to a little bit of time every single day, learning how to master that channel towards the person you want to serve.
And you said something in that explanation, and I still have more questions about the fractional CMO, but I want to ask, because you mentioned the avatar or your ideal customer. Knowing who your customer is really important. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of people, when they're just starting out, they think everyone's their customer. And you can waste a lot of time doing that, right? I mean, how did you refine that and define who you call the mm-hmm. avatar, your perfect customer is?
Yeah, persona, ideal customer, avatar, kind of all interchangeable mm-hmm. to me. I would say so in my industry, my best customer is me 5 years ago. That's how I knew who it was I was looking for. Is what was the pain in my life in 2017, 2018 when I was first trying to side hustle? Or that was also my first year in like full blown senior leadership, like 10, 12, 15 direct reports. Big budget I was responsible for. So I was thinking back to who was I 5 or 6 years ago, and what did I really need? Who did I need to be in my corner? And then I started to write content around that, you know, mm-hmm. just what were the lessons I hadn't learned yet in 2017, 2018 that I've now learned about leading people, building brands, making plans, having contingency plans, understanding data. I just wrote down all of these topics and I just started creating content around that. And the beautiful thing about the way these algorithms work is the algorithms will make the people who are interested in that content find that content. There is too much data out there now. And so in a way, you kind of got to be who you needed yourself to be 5 years ago to someone. And that means you cannot be all things to all people. I'm going to use a Paul quote right now. Like every side hustle, unless you're Uber driving where everyone that's got Uber is your customer. If it's a specific service, again, if it's landscaping or wedding planning or digital marketing or affiliate marketing, like my sister, or copywriting on the side or whatever it is, outside of some sort of commoditized industry like delivering pizzas or something like that, there is always going to be a slice of the market that is your best fit customer. And the slice of that slice that is your best fit customer is the one that you can reckon yourself to. And what I mean by that is like when I share my take on it, my story, my reason for doing it, why I'm doing it with excellence, if I can find the people that would lean into that story, your odds of closing are going to go up, as well as your ability to be effective, which is really what it comes down to. Like I sell my stuff at a premium rate because in a way I'm now 5 years into shepherding myself. So I kind of know what it's going to take. I go after businesses and leaders that were similar to the businesses and the leadership problems that I had to personally experience and work through. So I'm not pulling books. I mean, we do some book reading in my growth advisory program, but most of it is just stuff I've lived. Which the greatest testimony for a changed life and a life of impact is a changed life and a life of impact. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I'm able to just go in and speak from realistic scenarios that I actually sat in and lived. And it just comes off way more authentic because it is. And so that's the big challenge that I would say to your listeners is whatever time, talent, treasure, resources God's given you, whatever he's put your hand to, lean in on what makes you uniquely good at it and tell that story really well to the people who are just a few years behind you. And it'll make all the difference in your ability to get and keep customers.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So you're in the business. Herald is what you call a fractional CMO company, a fractional chief marketing officer company. Now in my day job, I have a 3,000 customers in my book of business and they're in the primarily selling appliances. They're small to medium sized businesses, appliance store. And a lot of them know the appliance industry very well.
Sure.
Few of them know anything about risk. Few of them know anything about marketing. And those who do succeed. And so can you explain the concept of a fractional CMO and how that really helps people who may not have the skill set?
Yeah. So the best way to think about any fractional C-suite person, whether it's a CFO, CTO, CMO, CEO, it doesn't really matter. The concept of fractional is how do you get an expert in? Let's say you had $5,000 a month to spend on personnel when it comes to marketing. Well, for $5,000, if somebody was full-time, you're going to get somebody with 1 to 3 years of experience. That's just the way it is. Somebody who has 1 to 3 years of experience is probably going to have a channel that they know how to market really well at that point, but they're not going to have the holistic experience that a business is going to need to effectively grow at good margins over time. So where fractional CMO work comes in is what if you could spend that same $5,000 and have somebody who can just cut to the chase in the next 90 days and completely redo your entire go-to-market strategy with step-by-step instructions that either you yourself as the owner could implement, you could go hire an intern or an assistant to implement, or you could choose to stay on and use an agency. So where our business has evolved is that is our core offer. Our core offer is what we call growth advisory or fractional CMO services. It is about, that number wasn't made up. It's $5,000-$6,000 a month, normally work in 90-day increments, sometimes as long as 9 months. It depends on the term. But we have also found that in that situation, whenever it's time to leave, because we always leave, it's never permanent. Yeah. It's designed to not be permanent. We tend to leave stuff in our wake is the best way to say it. We leave more opportunity than the standard company could solve on their own. And so what we've even evolved now into is we also have an academy, which is a series of training products that you can take to leave behind where you're now doing it. And then you get one call a month from us to make sure you're implementing well. So it's kind of do it yourself. We'll still be over here in your corner. Advisory is do it with you. And then we have agency, which is do it for you. So where it's like, you know what, Trey, thanks so much for this great plans. We really can't implement any of it. Who do you know? And then we have, you know, we have a team come to the table. But so the best way to understand advisory then is fractional CMO work is how can you pay an expert to basically work one day a week and solve what an entry-level or mid-level person couldn't solve in 5 days in a week for the same expenditure item. It's a similar investment, just different outcome. But fractional CMO work also isn't necessarily a long-term solution for anybody. It shouldn't be, in my opinion. It should always be either a gap filler or a step change idea in the business of like, okay, we've got this stuff mastered and we really want to go do these three new channels and we don't have anyone on our team who's ever done those channels really well before. By channels, I mean like they're really good at organic content, but they've never run ads before, or they're really good at ads and they've never built a podcast and content marketing out before. So that's another good time to go and get an expert who really knows what they're doing. They can save you time, money, and energy by getting you there a lot faster. That's the sort of unlocks that, or one last example I would say is, let's say somebody leaves and they know it's going to take them 6 months or 8 months to backfill a seat, and they don't want to wait. They don't want the team to suffer for 6 to 8 months. So they might put somebody like me in as a stopgap while they're still hiring for their full-time CMO. And I might even, as I did last year twice, I might even participate in the interviews and help them decide who the good fit is for the team that they're going to leave in there permanently. So that's the kind of stuff I'm doing as a fractional CMO.
Yeah. And so most businesses, small businesses or side hustles, or even medium-sized businesses, and I use the appliance store, you know, example, they're good at a certain thing. You're rare that you were side hustling in the area of marketing, and so you're training marketing, but not everyone's good at marketing. Marketing is challenging. And I think that the idea behind, and you threw some numbers out, you threw $5,000 or $6,000 out. Could you quickly share the difference between value and cost? Because that might freak some people out.
Yeah. I would say our service is laid out to where the reason why we do 90-day increments is because we want to find either via savings or increased margin 3.5, 4 to 1 on the investment to have us in as a consultant in the 90 days that we're working there. So if somebody spends $15,000 with us, I'm trying to show them $50,000 in value at the end of that 90 days of agreements to say, oh my God, again, either because we saved them money or we found them money or we increased conversion in their funnel as an example. And so we oftentimes lead with the value prop of, you know, what if you could find $50,000 you didn't know existed in the next 90 days? Would you want it? Okay. Would you want it if it cost you 10 or 12 or 15 or 16 to find it? And most of the time the answer is yes, sure. You know, over and over and over again. And the catch with us is, we, again, because we are building channels to target people we know we can win in, we're really confident we're going to be able to find that 50 because we kind of run similar plays with new companies. And we size the market well to know who we can actually help do that. We don't get ourselves too extended one way or the other. And so far, so good. You know, most of our agreements end up lasting about 5 months, even though we go in there for 3 months, because we're able to find what we find. And then we help them figure out, okay, what's the system you need to install here? Just the other day, we just transitioned, ironically, I transitioned out of an FCMO agreement and I transitioned one of my existing team members in as the permanent full-time marketing leader going forward, because that was the right gap-filling approach for that client. So we try and bring, now that I'm doing this full time, I'm able to bring even more flexibility to the table than I was when I was doing it part time, you know, on the side, basically. You know, it's like, well, there's only so much I can do because I got a full time job. So that was another really attractive thing for me of going full time with my side hustle, was I saw the writing on the wall of all the different kinds of engagements and agreements we can now be a good partner for companies on, no matter where they are in their growth curve.
So let's make a turn here to kingdom principles. So you're one of the things, and I told you this earlier, one of the things I really appreciate about you on LinkedIn is you don't hide the difficulties of life, and you actually make things, you know, you bring God into a conversation very organically. So I'm sure you have some customers who aren't always faith-based. How do you keep the kingdom principles at the center of what you do at Herald?
Yeah. Well, number one, we leave with all of it on our website so that people, when they see us, they don't got to guess where we are.
And it's very bold too. Very bold.
We leave with it. I mean, you go on my website right now and it's like, you know, we believe in a world where, and we just say, this is what we're seeing. You know, it's interesting. I think we're like 85% faith first, businesses right now and about 15% not. But they're also driven by the fact that I'm so driven by it, if that makes sense, because they can appreciate that I don't believe I'm actually working for them. That's the biggest principle that I communicate to our clients all the time is like, even though I'm working with you, I'm not working for you. I'm working for, you know, the Lord who put me on the earth to do these skills. And so that's the underpinning principle of all of it is, you know, very Colossians 3, like we're doing this work for the Lord. You just happen to be in the way. It's like a joke that I'll say all the time. And so I think that also then for my team members and definitely for my clients, it keeps me honest, Tim. Like when you're going to put that out there and they can call you on it, you know, if you get a little sass in your voice or you get a little sideways on something and it's like, yeah, you're right. You know? And so it's an accountability thing for me. So that's definitely one of the principles that we try and lead with. And the second thing, it's sort of a half joke. It's like, I want to be Hollywood grade, holy word made. And I genuinely want to build a company that the world would look at the output and go, who made that? That is brilliant. That is so creative. It's so well written. The aesthetics of it look right. And then when they get into it and they're like, wait a second, if you're like me, it's getting better, but there was a long term there in the cinemas where you could always tell the Christian made movies from the main movies.
And some music too. Yeah.
Yeah. And music as well. It's getting better, right? Getting better. The budgets are increasing. So it's getting better. I don't want that to be said about what I work on. It's like a personal challenge thing. I want to be excellent. And I believe that excellence is a kingdom principle. I genuinely do. And so, that spirit of excellence, that spirit of it's holy work. It might not seem holy. We work in fertilizer. It's poop, right? Like you probably never had somebody say the word poop on your podcast, but it's, you know, we market poop for a living with one company, but we make it holy. Like it's a redemptive act in we're doing this because it's going to make plants grow and the plants are going to feed more families and those families need to know about it. So it's like, we always just look for those connections. So that's the other kind of kingdom principle is like to find the divine and the sacred in the everyday things that God is asking us to do, project management, Asana tickets, LinkedIn posts. It's like, it's all a part of this larger story that God is weaving both through us, the people that work at Herald, and through the organizations that we get to work for. And more importantly, the customers of those organizations, because we run their funnels, right? So we might only have 15 brands that we work for, but those 15 brands are touching millions of lives every year. And so that is also that kind of megaphone approach to impact that we're getting to have with the work that we do is another thing that kind of keeps us honest.
So we're going to wrap it up now. We're kind of at time. So now I was introduced to you through LinkedIn. And if you are a person on LinkedIn, totally recommend following Trey's stuff on LinkedIn. And I'll put, you know, how to contact that information in the description. So his stuff is he's sharing marketing concepts. He's sharing life stories. He's very focused on, you know, being kingdom minded in those, which is very refreshing. How else can people reach out to you, contact you, or follow your stuff?
Great. Yeah, I would say LinkedIn is probably the best way. Our website is Herald, Herald, not like the man, like the angel, .co. I say that to people all the time. You can look us out there. We actually have a new website coming out. I think next Friday is when it's going to launch, which is exciting. Just kind of the website that's there now was me and Webflow 2 years ago. And now I like actually went out and hired a full-on web developer to come in and build us out. All of our brand, and I'm excited for the world to see it. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Those are the channels that is my personal stuff. Yeah. LinkedIn is where I keep it professional. I talk about personal stuff on
LinkedIn.
But LinkedIn is where I'm active. You know, I talk about being a dad a lot. I talk about being a leader a lot, and I talk about building brands. So, and then how the Lord is kind of guiding me in those three different areas of my life and development right now. So, and I'd be really grateful for any connection that anybody wants to make. I love meeting new people on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And I'll put his LinkedIn tag and his website information in the description so you can find it if you didn't catch it. So Trey, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time today. And for everyone else out there, thank you for stopping by. I will see you soon with a new video. Until then, I dare you to profit so you can practice and promote radical, revolutionary, fearless generosity. Blessings.